Up next, I'm going to be cobbling together a Sunday show for September 13th. And we're going to be looking at, or I should say listening to, continued coverage of the protests, last big protests we had in Santa Cruz that I'm aware of, and I'm probably missing a few, although I haven't heard of any, around the issue of police abuses, racism, and solidarity with the national movement to finally get some real change in police departments throughout the country and in Santa Cruz as well. Technical equipment here is not the best today. My board has taken ill here. That is, say, the device I use to hear what I'm doing and record what I'm doing. So I'm kind of patching things together as best I can. Hang with me, and you'll still be getting something today, and hopefully it'll be worth the listening. So stay tuned.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you.
And let's jump right in. Let's return to Santa Cruz City Hall on the last, it was the middle of the month in August. The next to the last city council meeting was kind of a special meeting before their final meeting in August. It was on the 18th, I believe. And they were not talking about police defunding. They were not talking about abuses against local folks. They were not talking about tenant issues. They were not even talking about the budget. In fact, they weren't even talking in a way that most people could hear in any easy way, nor had they opened up any public buildings to allow people to go in, let's say, to the Civic. At that time, the Civic was still not being used, I believe, as a shelter, although I may be a little off on that. But they have repeatedly refused, the mayor, city manager, the whole city council, to move meetings to the Civic when there are large numbers of people who are concerned about issues and have made that clear to the city council that they want to be able to speak, they want to be able to hear what's going on, they want to be able to publicly attend and express their opinions. And that has been watered down, diluted, and funneled into this Zoom system, with the COVID-19 being the pretext. And I say the pretext because the Board of Supervisors, at least for many of its meetings, has held in-person meetings. It can be done if you distance properly, if you do it in a large enough auditorium. And it's something that really government owes the public. But of course, the government doesn't owe you anything unless you force them to do it. That's generally the unfortunate lesson of history and of recent history here in Santa Cruz. Evident in other places where massive amounts of protest have produced some minor, at least cosmetic changes in terms of police defunding, though usually only a very small fraction of the police budget. I guess we're talking about places like Oakland and New York City. But mostly, police departments are very, very powerful. And that's why they can continue to shoot people dead without accountability. They have strong unions. They have created legal structures that defend them. And in Santa Cruz, people have been angry about this in city council meeting after city council meeting, even in the midst of the COVID situation, even with actions on trying to reach them through this Zoom phone-in system where person after person called in, at least earlier in May and June, demanding action here in Santa Cruz, but of course not even getting their issues on the agenda. This protest on August 18th was held in support of the Beach Street Latinx vendors who were driven off of the beach area with an edict by City Manager Martin Bernal, which was rubber stamped by the City Council in response to actually a violent, I don't know if we should say racist or simply classist business resentment from I think initially it was considered to be two brick and mortar businesses down there, and eventually it was only the falafel place that got the blame from those who were witnessing it and from the video, at least that I saw, in terms of a Latinx woman's vendor, her cart being knocked over, and instead of the police arresting or citing the guy who did it, the result was to ban all Latinx vendors and use the pretext of the COVID-19 crisis, while, of course, people mingled fairly freely on the beaches shortly thereafter. I mean, it was pretty ludicrous. But the fact that it could be done so blatantly apparently produced a response. Democratic socialists, groups from the campus, and other folks got together for what I say again seemed to be the last big protest I've seen since, well, other crises have arisen, the fire, the smoke, the heat. But there haven't been any large protests since then that I at least have been advised of. So I did a lot of audioing of it. Some of it came out, some of it didn't, and my equipment here in the studio, as I said, I should say, in front of my computer, which isn't really a studio, but which just has to do what it does. Anyway, it's not the best, but you can hear these vendors tell their own stories, and that's what I want them to do, both in Spanish and then the translation in English. So let's hear a bit of that. And maybe, I guess that there's supposed to be some solution worked out by early October, by where solution means there'll be a report back by some commission or committee that's meeting behind closed doors. I may try to get some other opinions on this issue. But in the meantime, let's hear the opinions of the folks who came to this protest, which was involved several hundred people in front of City Hall, what would have been the City Council had they been meeting there, which they weren't. And let's listen in.
Yeah, let's get Brian up in his mic, and then after that, we're going to have Sarah speak real quickly. So go for it, Sarah.
Hi, everyone. So I want to say I know some people came out for a march today, and that can still happen. I think the thing that we wanted to make sure we did was show support to the vendors who came out here today. So what we want to do is we want to take the time for the next few speakers for folks to make a donation, get some food, and then after that, we're going to head on down to Cynthia Matthews' house and tell her what we think about the city budget.
Cynthia Matthews, of course, is a longtime former vice mayor, has been vice mayor at least three times. I mean, mayor at least three times, and a vice mayor before that, of course, when she was mayor, since that's their procedure at City Council. First year, you're the vice mayor, and then the next year, you're the mayor, and that's elected by the council and not by the community. There were vendors ringing the whole area of the City Hall premises. Under the lean-tos, in each of the walkways, there were different vendors providing food, and some of that was given away free to the members who were members of the community who came and to hear people speak. But some of it was sold, and was an attempt to be supportive to the vendors and also so they could have an opportunity to tell their story. And here's more of that.
think about the ordinance that's causing police repression against the vendors.
One of the street vendors here, make sure to get some food at the same time, especially during this heat, to keep everyone cool. All right, so take it away, Juan.
Hola, buenas tardes. Mi nombre es Juan, como ya me habían anunciado.
Good afternoon. My name is Juan, as we've said.
Okay, so por la forma que estamos aquí es solamente para alzar la voz. Para alzar la voz, porque ya estamos cansados. Cansados de tanta violencia contra mi gente, contra gente que nada más quiere trabajar.
We're here simply to raise our voices because we're tired of not being heard. All of my people, all we want is just to work, so we're tired of this.
No nada más por los vendedores, también por la gente que trabaja en el field, bajo estas temperaturas, y nadie se fija en eso, que gracias a esa gente hay comida en nuestras mesas.
And I'm not just here for the vendors. I'm here also for the farm workers who are working in this heat to harvest the food that ends up at our tables. The only reason we have something to eat is because of the farm workers.
Por esa razón es que yo he alzado la voz. No me quedo callado porque he sido parte de la injusticia del gobierno, de la injusticia de la policía. Me han tratado como un criminal cuando lo único que hago es mantener a mi familia.
This is the reason why I won't be quiet. I will raise my voice because I have been a target of this violence, of the police violence, of the government violence. They have treated me like a criminal.
Es por eso que ya estoy cansado. Estoy en contra de toda la injusticia. A mí me tachan, me miran como si yo fuera un criminal, como si yo fuera la persona que todo el mundo anda diciendo aquí en Santa Cruz que soy el que traigo a tanta gente a trabajar. No es mentira. Es mentira, porque no los traigo yo, ellos vienen por su cuenta. Lo único que hago yo es echar la voz por ellos.
I am tired of being treated like a criminal. Sometimes people accuse me of bringing others to work here, but people come here by their own foot. And they come here for a living. That's all they want. So I'm very tired of being treated like a criminal and of all of this injustice.
Y también he sido testigo de que gente que no habla español ni inglés, policías, los marginan porque no hablan el idioma que se habla en esta ciudad.
And I have also been a witness of how police racially profile and exploit people who do not speak English and sometimes who do not speak Spanish just for the mere reason that they don't speak the language.
Como ahorita, todo lo que me traen a mí, el problema que tuvo mi compañera, que supuestamente yo soy parte de su estafa, eso es mentira. Yo no lo hago por dinero, yo no quiero dinero, yo no quiero fama. Yo nomás quiero que se respete toda esta gente que se trabaja bajo el sol, todos los días. Nadie sabe lo que sufrimos, el dormirnos en las calles, en nuestras camionetas y mal pasarnos de comer.
Nobody knows how much we suffer when, you know, I'm thinking about the workers and people who sleep in their vans and put up with the heat and put up with this weather just to work, just to make a livelihood. You know, so many of us are falsely accused, like my friend who had that problem with the police recently. So we are tired, and this is why I raise my voice. Not just for me, but for all of those who have no voice or haven't been heard.
Se los agradezco de corazón y yo alzo la voz por toda mi raza mexicana, mis latinos y por toda la gente trabajadora.
For all the working people, for all my Mexican people, for all the Latinos, for all the working people. Si se puede.
In between our relationship, we were able to clear stuff up with Beach Street Pizza, who was included in the supposed attack. You know, I got to meet the owner, Steve, and his wife. I forget her name, but Catherine. And, you know, we were honest at the table about what they were confronting them about and what the harassment was about. But we made it clear that, you know, I made it clear to them that they had to talk to them for themselves and clear their own name. I wasn't going to do that for them. And When I made the meeting, they talked it out. You guys should have seen it. We recorded everything, guys, and it's a beautiful moment of neighboring. I mean, they told their grievances to them, to the Beach Street pizza owners, and they had to hear them out. And it was sort of brutal because they were tactically harassing them. They weren't being supposedly racist, but they were having these tendencies that lead to that, right? That led to the falafel hut owner doing what he did. Also, Beach Street Pizza gave pizza to them. They gave hot dogs to the Beach Street people. It was a beautiful meal, and they worked it out. As well as El Hermoso Mar, a lady there, I forget her name as well, but she came out and supported the vendors as well, too, and helped them even serve hot dogs. She volunteered her time to help them. So it just shows you neighboring businesses coming together to support the street vendors. And so I just wanted to share that. Again, at the end of all this, I'm a surf instructor. I run a nonprofit called Indigenous Surf Club. And I made it a point to take out all the vendor kids surfing because they work on that beach every day. They don't get a chance to be a tourist. They come here and enjoy the beach, enjoy Santa Cruz. It's expensive, man. They get tired of eating the same food every day. All the food that they prepare, they get tired of eating that shit. So, you know, they got to make ends meet to even get out of this town. So that's why we have to support them this time around. We try to ask that from the sergeant. The sergeant wasn't having it. But we kept pushing the thing. They were supposed to not even sell on Thursday. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We made it happen because we were out there supporting them, okay? So just know that when we come together and support them, they can't stop us, okay? And that's all I got.
All right, so let's give it up for SIS and Juan over there with the passion and the energy that they got going on. So shout out to you. And I see the Barrios Unidos shirt, so shout out Barrios Unidos as well.
Yeah.
And we're going to close it, and we're not going to close it because we got one more speaker, but chant is, ¿Qué queremos? ¿Qué queremos?
Justicia!
¿Qué queremos?
Justicia.
¿Cuándo?
Ahora.
¿Qué queremos?
Justicia.
¿Cuándo?
Ahora.
Yeah, let's get it going on. Let's keep that same energy, all right?
Gracias.
We gotta make sure that the city manager, the city man, all of those people there listen to us and that they hear us at the same time so we can get that pressure. So next up, our next speaker, I've had the honor to march alongside this brother off of several movements going on, including Colo Pro. I've had the honor to get to know him as my friend. I don't get to call many people my friend, but this brother over here is definitely one of my best friends over there. Always with the energy, always with the inspiration and the education to go on at the same time, you know? So let's give it up, y'all, for my brother, Carlos Cruz.
And thank you, thanks for coming out, everybody. I'm gonna start off by saying, fuck the police!
Fuck the police!
Fuck the police!
Fuck the police!
Fuck the police! That's right, we're here to defend black lives.
The guy leading the fuck the police chants, who's also the master of ceremonies, and it's also kind of hard to hear because his voice is distorted both by his equipment and by mine. A lot of the rap is sort of a broad, generic American empire, slave history, stuff that I think many of my listeners already know all about. And if you don't, hearing these slogans may not be that helpful to you. But there is some connection with local issues like the anger of UC graduate students and their protests and how they were treated by the UC police. And again, this is a protest that didn't just come and make a few speeches in front of City Hall, but they attempted to go directly to who I call the shadow mayor of the Santa Cruz City Council, Cynthia Matthews, her house. I don't think she showed up to greet them, but no, in fact, she didn't, as far as I remember. But the effort was good. Of course, the real power where people have not yet gone, at least not in any mass public way is to the house, the more distant house of city manager Martine Bernal, who is really the real kingpin in the city government. If you knock him down, the rest of the structure follows suit, and you might actually get some action on these issues. And I'm not, by the way, advising violence against our city manager. Certainly not. But certainly strong demands that will, in essence, get him to either resign or have him recalled. I should say fired, really. You can't recall the city manager because he's not an elected official. Let's see if we can hear a little bit more of our somewhat blurry and distorted voice of our speaker here.
They can't be here today, but I know they're here with me with spirit. They're here with us with rage. So one more time, fuck the police!
Fuck the police!
Violence is at the root of the history of this nation. The violence of the U.S. Empire's control has become so widespread and constant that it becomes nearly invisible, achieving a frightening degree of normality. Nonetheless, in instances when uprisings occur, as there have been for centuries, the violence of the U.S. war machine becomes pronounced and blatant, brought to the forefront as unrestrained violence is utilized to suppress rebellion. We have seen this happen here at UCSC in the terror inflicted on students by the militarized university police and other assorted police forces, and as it is happening and has been happening in places like Portland, Oregon, and Oakland, California. If you look at history from the West and trace the trajectory of the U.S. colonial violence, we see that for centuries, the Empire's occupying army has been advancing their line imposed by supposed frontiersmen. The Lakotas and the recent defense of the Black Hills from Trump's theatrical attempt to address and celebrate the so-called nation is a prime example of how, for Native peoples, the police have always been an occupying army.
Yeah.
Under the U.S. colonial idea of manifest destiny, of progress and development, the police and the military come to embody that institutionalization of the imposition of white colonial frontiers. The initial frontier violence of U.S. colonialism is secularized into police departments and institutionalized into police and military forces, which then expand what the U.S. considers the next frontiers into the rest of Mother Earth. Through the kidnapping, transporting, and enslaving of people from Africa's coast at the settler colonial violence of the U.S. occupied armies, the U.S. has continuously constructing what Frederick Jackson Turner calls the line between civilization and savagery, a line which is meant to establish a particular order, the law and order that U.S. police and military are enforcing here and overseas is the very process of establishing that line, of reasserting that frontier and the violence that comes with it, whereby anyone falling outside the white supremacist norm or anyone defying the U.S. fascist tyranny must be labeled as an enemy. It becomes clear that the police is just another facet of the U.S. war machine, bent on creating, funding, and profiting from warfare and militarization. Those tactics which label those resisting U.S. imperial violence as terrorists are nothing more than an attempt at projecting a projection because we come to understand these things. It gets easier to see who the real terrorist is. The U.S. war machine brings terror to communities all across Mother Earth. The so-called U.S. is a global manufacturer of terror. Its entire existence is a war crime, and the war is the instrument through which the U.S. can both exploit and profit from other suffering and justify their killing. Today, we see the ways in which the police is waging a war against our communities, online proliferating the narrative of being the ones who keep us safe, while actually being the ones who bring terror to our neighborhoods. In this way, U.S. police and military violence
and I'm going to have to pause here because, one, I don't like generic rants, and two, it's hard to hear. So, well, I probably agree with a lot of what he is saying. Sort of simply shouting this out at the crowd, to me, I don't know if I felt this way when I heard it, but I do now as I try to listen to this recording, and perhaps, again, it's because the recording is so crappy. It just, doesn't seem to be something I want to pass on. The voices of the vendors, yes. This kind of stuff, no. My apologies for the last few minutes. But, you know, it certainly, I think, is true what he is saying. Even though he's saying it like this, and I don't much like that manner of delivery, it kind of turns me off. But it could be a matter of taste, and also trying to communicate kid to a crowd. You do what you can, I guess. A merciful musical break here, and then get back to. At least you'll be getting my commentary on how things were going, though it's, of course, through my eyes and my particular perspective.
I just wanna live. God protect me. I'm a young black man, doing all that I can to stay. And I see what's being done to my kind. Every day I'm being hunted and prey. My people don't want no trouble. We've had enough struggle. I just wanna live. God protect.
I Just Want to Live by Kedron Bryant, and it was recorded in June. There's also a video with it, of course. Almost all my stuff comes from videos off of YouTube. It's a black and white video with lots of clips from old 60s civil rights demonstrations, but there's some more recent stuff as well. You can view it on YouTube.